a big pill to swallow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Another multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical deal is in the works. This morning, drug makers Merck and Schering Plough say they're getting together. We're joined by Ashley Milne-Tite, who is looking into this merger. Ashley, tell us more about this morning's developments.
The deal is worth more than $41 billion in cash and stock, and the new company will take on Merck's name, so Schering Plough will become a thing of the past. And the companies overlap in a lot of the kinds of drugs that they make. So cholesterol is a big area for both companies, and so are drugs for things like asthma and hay fever. And that's seen as being a very stable market because those conditions aren't likely to go away anytime soon.
And Ashley, just a few months ago, we had Pfizer buying Wyeth in a deal that was, what, close to $70 billion? Why are we seeing drug companies merging like this right now?
Well, one huge concern of a lot of these drug makers is some of their most popular drugs are coming off patent in the next several years. So that means generic drug makers will be able to step in and make those drugs and sell them for a lot less than the big companies have been selling them for. So for a company like Merck or like Pfizer, teaming up with another company lets them capitalize on new drugs in the research pipeline. And on top of that, there's probably going to be some pressure from the Obama administration as they work on healthcare reform for drug companies to bring down prices. So that's another reason two big drug makers might want to get together.
All right. Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thank you.
You're welcome.
And not much enthusiasm about the deal on Wall Street. Dow is pretty much flat, down about a tenth of a percent. NASDAQ up half a percent. S&P 500 up about a quarter of a percent this morning. European markets down. Asian stocks closed lower. As America's financial fallout continues, criticism has escalated among GOP leaders. They say the Obama administration shouldn't be throwing more money at the nation's banking problem. Alabama Senator Richard Shelby is the ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee. Yesterday, he told ABC's This Week some of the financial institutions should have been allowed to just go away.
Close them down. Get them out of business. If they're dead, they ought to be buried. We bury the small banks. We've got to bury some big ones and send a strong message to the market. And I believe that people will start investing in banks.
Shelby pointed to Citigroup, which he called a, quote, problem child. That bank's gotten $45 billion of federal help, and the government has at least a 30% stake in it. Meanwhile, the bank bailouts here at home are starting to hit highly skilled immigrants. Some foreign students about to graduate from American business schools have had their job offers withdrawn. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, has that story.
Bank of America has just given some foreign MBA students in the U.S. the bad news. They won't be getting a job with the bank after they graduate this summer. The bank blames a clause in the latest bailout legislation. Bank of America has already received $45 billion in government money. It's laying off thousands of American workers. So under the recent stimulus bill, it may not apply for visas for highly skilled immigrant workers. Stefan Szymański is with the Cass Business School. He says discriminating against foreign students in this way is regrettable, but hardly surprising.
All countries devoting large sums of public money to recovery plans will inevitably direct those resources towards national citizens who have votes rather than foreign citizens who don't.
But critics of the move say it could turn off hundreds of foreign students from enrolling with American business schools. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
Surveys have shown that more than a third of people 18 to 40 have some sort of tattoo. That means brisk business for ink shops in recent years. And despite the fallout, people are still getting them. Andrea Mustaine reports.
In a small storefront in Brooklyn's Park Slope neighborhood, the tattoo studio Hand of Glory is a welcoming spot. In the back, owner Craig Rodriguez whistles while he works.
Shop manager Karen Rockauer says there's a reason why they're in a good mood.
We were just discussing earlier today that the business is doing just as well as it was last year at this time, which is not consistent with most small businesses in the neighborhood.
And in fact, owner Rodriguez says his latest figures show business is up more than 40% from the previous year.
I've never really taken any real downhill turns yet.
And with tattoos moving from the fringes of society to the mainstream, he plans to expand. Rodriguez is opening a second shop upstate in the Catskills Mountains. But let's say you're at the mall. You just got a new outfit and you want a tattoo to match. Now you don't have to wait. Yes, tattoos are at the mall. At least this one in Wayne, New Jersey.
Our tattoos have grown 35% year over year, which is pretty spectacular.
That is Heath Wolfson, the CEO of Tattoo Nation. The company hopes to do for tattoos what Starbucks did for coffee. They're expanding into several more malls this year. Wolfson says in this tough economy, it's a question of bang for the buck.
Would I rather buy a pair of jeans that are going to go out of style in 6 months, or would I rather get a tattoo that's going to last a lifetime?
But back at Hand of Glory in Brooklyn, Craig Rodriguez says people don't just get tattoos because they're cost effective. He says they're fun.
It's a little bit of an escape, and I think that that's what human beings do.
Even during hard times. Client Zach Greenblatt says it's impossible to pin down the psychology behind tattoos, but he has his reasons.
It could be because you're showing yourself that you can get through things like I am.
Greenblatt just got laid off a few weeks ago, but he says he won't let that stop him. He's adding red roses and a black crow to the intricate tattoo that already runs down his arm. He says tattoos can serve as a kind of memorial.
Sometimes people go through something horrible. You'd think they'd want to just completely forget it, but they mark it on themselves. And that's just a different way, I guess, of dealing with life.
Greenblatt says, don't be surprised if ex-Wall Street bankers start getting dollar sign tattoos. In New York, I'm Andrea Mustaine for Marketplace.
Hope you can check us out online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.